I am the video. So moving to this morning, sorry you don't get that one. You just get me straight away. That's how the Lord has planned it this morning. Good morning. Now I can officially say Happy New Year. So Happy New Year to everybody. Happy New Year. I'm so pumped for 2025. I was like inside, you know, I try to always play cool, but inside I'm like jumping around like Steve Ballmer at a Microsoft concert, a conference, or at a Clippers game. If you know him, he's always like, whoa! And I don't want to do that in public because that looks weird. It looks as weird as when I do it as when he does it. So, yeah. So let's begin this morning with our church declarations. What do?
We love God and we love others.
What do we say?
I love God and I love you.
And that's directed to those that are around you in our service. And that I love you is also directed to those that aren't in our service. So you're loving people all around you. So today we're continuing our Fresh Start series. And I have four questions to ask you as we begin. Now, they're really actually serious questions, but not in a negative way. They're serious questions in a hopeful way. And they're going to help frame what we're talking about in the message today. And so here are the four questions. Ready? Are you open to asking God if he wants more from you? Are you open to a greater spiritual investment in yourself and in this community? Are you open to a radical stepping out of your own spiritual comfort zone? And then with as much honesty as you can muster internally, what is God calling you to in this next season of your life? Those are pretty powerful questions, right? Like, can I even ask those?
Repeat them.
All right. Are you open to asking God if he wants more from you? Are you open to a greater spiritual investment in yourself and in this community? Are you open to radically stepping out of your spiritual comfort zone? And lastly, what is God calling you to in this next season of your life? So today, I'm going to talk about a fresh start in our spiritual lives. Just like last week, we were talking about our mental lives and our activities that come from that. A fresh start of the heart requires change. If there isn't any change, then nothing's going to be different. It's not actually a fresh start, or it's a useless fresh start, because you end up being in the same place that you were in the first place, unless there's change in our lives. And I say this with the most excited, hope-filled, joyful heart possible, because I believe that God has so much more for you, more than you can even think about or imagine. I think that there's a scripture that says that. And God has more planned for you than you could even imagine or hope for. Like I said last week, I think 2025 is going to be amazing for you personally and for our church if we're open to hear from God. You're going to hear this phrase this morning, fresh start, new heart, over and over. And it's going to be our guiding phrase for this morning. And there's going to be two movements in this. Fresh start, new heart, eternally, big picture, and fresh start, new heart, daily. And that's going to be our two movements this morning as we're talking about having a fresh start spiritually in our lives. So here we go with fresh start, new heart, right off the bat with a fantastic verse. It comes from 2 Corinthians 5 and 17. It says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The new creation has come, and the old has gone. The new is here. This is for every person. Jesus offers a new heart for all of us. When you're in Christ, you've been made new. This is the moment of salvation we're talking about. There's a moment where you are hearing about God, and you know about God, and there's this moment where all that kind of information and God's moving in your heart, and then you say, I'm going to decide for God, and this is that moment where you say, God, I want to be a new creation. I don't want to be the old me. I want to be a new me. And God says, yes, and there's this moment of salvation where you accept him as your Lord and Savior. It is that moment. But then it's also a constant new reality for you. You see, when you become a new person, it doesn't end the second after you made that confession. That's the beginning of the new person, you see? So some of you have been a Christian for a little bit longer than 1 year or 10 years or 30 years. You're still the new creation. That new creation has come. This verse is for salvation, but it's also for every one of us who are believers. Have you been living your life As you look back at your last year this year, have you been living your life in your new reality or in your old non-Christian reality? Sometimes we act like our old self, even though we're a new creation. Sometimes old self habits, they creep back in, especially if you've been a Christian for a long time. But that's not the new you. It's these old things that sort of came back in. It's like teeth. And when I was young, I had baby teeth. And those baby teeth fell out, and I got my big boy teeth, right? You got your adult teeth. You got your new teeth. And these new teeth, I take care of them. Overall, I think I have pretty good dental health. You know, I brush at least 2 times a day, and I got a fancy electric toothbrush that gets all in the nook and crannies, and I floss-ish, you know, not every day, but I floss, kind of. You know, occasionally. And then I go yearly to the dentist. But every time I go to the dentist, they always say the same thing. I go to the dentist, and the dentist always tells me every time I go, he says, oh, or she says, it's a man-woman duo. They say to me, you have a little bit of tartar buildup, and we have to scrape it away. Now they use that water pick kind of thing. We've got to get out that tartar buildup. Even though I have good teeth. See, I think that's many of us spiritually. We are the new creation, but you've got some spiritual tartar. Some of the old things have come in stock. Some of the old habits are back coming around. And maybe today is your deep cleaning day where God is saying, I want you to have a fresh start, a new heart on those new teeth eaters. Once you've accepted Jesus, you have a new heart. So all you have to do is live in that reality. For the fresh start, it's available all the time. You have to just live in your actual reality of a new created being. The Old Testament says it this way, and I love it. It's in Ezekiel, God says this, I will sprinkle clean water on you, and then you're going to be clean, and I'll cleanse you from all your impurities and from your idols, and I'm going to give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. I'll remove from you your heart of stone, and I'll give you a heart of flesh. And I'll put my spirit in you and move you to follow my decrees and be careful to keep my laws. A fresh start starts with a new heart. Yes, for salvation, but also for living in the now. And only you and God can make the assessment whether you have a hard heart or not. Only you or God and God between you can decide whether your heart is soft for the Lord or whether it's hard against the Lord. But God doesn't want you to have a hard heart. God wants you to have a new heart, one that's soft and sensitive to his movement, one that can receive love, not repel it, because it's not hard like a rock. He wants you to have a heart that can give care and show compassion and follow God fully. A soft heart that draws near to God's grace and his goodness. And then extends that grace and goodness to those that are around you. That's the kind of heart that God wants you to have. And that is the one that's available for every one of us this morning. Just say yes to Jesus, maybe for your first time. Just say yes to Jesus for your 1,000th time. And that new, fresh, soft heart is available so that we could walk in our new reality. But this speaks to our daily fresh start, new heart. I am eternally cleansed. I have a new heart. I am the Son of God. But then that translates into a day by day. But we need a fresh start every day. Lamentations says this. This is a fantastic verse. It says, the steadfast love of the Lord, it never ceases. Amen. His mercies never come to an end. They are new. They are new when?
Every
morning. Great is your faithfulness. You know why they're new every morning? Because you screwed up yesterday. Every one of us screwed up yesterday. Did anyone have a perfect yesterday? Full honesty. Perfect yesterday, yes. Who had a Saturday? Fully sinless. Ooh. Anyone? A full sinless Saturday yesterday? No, you dirty sinners. You know, I'm the bad one confessing. Now that's your confession to the Lord, right? How about this verse for a promise? It's so fantastic. The God's love doesn't cease, and his mercy is new every morning. A fresh start available every day, and we need it. Even as we try to live in our new creation as our new reality, there's a conflict that goes within us, our old self, that keeps trying to come back, and like, you're like, no, and it's like, yes, and you're like, no, get out of here. And there's this battle that goes on every day, all the time, and it won't cease. You're never going to get to a place where there's no longer temptation and you're free from sin this side of heaven. You will never be in that place. That's why this verse is so important. This side of heaven, you can never come to a place where temptation ceases. So maybe you're a like 98% temptation crusher. Maybe you're like top 10 in the class. You're valedictorian of like not sinning. That might be you. But I would venture to guess that in an average day, there's more than 100 temptations, old self snipes, or enemy, like enemy intrusions or enemy attacks. So even at 98%, that means two got by during that day. Perhaps a moment of impatience or an instance of gossip or hate in your heart or envy of a coworker who got a promotion this new year and you didn't get one. And maybe it was coveting that dude's Ferrari that zipped by you on the freeway. But we're in Southern California, so he didn't zip by. He was like just sitting in traffic also with you. So you had a longer time to envy his vehicle. Maybe it was chippiness with your spouse. Chippiness with your kids. Maybe if you're a teenager here, you had some attitude with your parents. So even at 98%, a couple of sins got by. Right? And we all have different sins. I don't know what they were that caught you up yesterday. Maybe your wife told you to take out the trash or something. You're like, I'm doing what to do. You had some attitude.
That's a sin.
That's my teenagers sound like all the time. You know, like, hey teens, guess what? That might be a sin, right? Like,
oh no.
Yeah, I know. So whatever it is, like that stuff gets through because we aren't perfect and sins get by. Even the best person in this congregation, the very best of you, the valedictorian of not sinning and rejecting temptation, the best here still sins. And that's why new mercy is necessary for each one of us each day. So that verse isn't just for the horrible, bad sinners. That verse is for even you, the best of you, not sinners. New mercy available every day. And it's kind of crazy because it's kind of so beautiful that God would give it to us. And when I think about it, it seems unbelievably generous. Because I don't know about you, but I have a few categories of sin. Like, I don't murder anyone. I've never asked Jesus to forgive me for murdering someone this week. I've never robbed a bank. I never have to ask for bank forgiveness. But some of the things that I do, I have to ask him over and over and over. And I get to this place where I'm like, God, I've asked you this too many times. Your generosity is too great, God. I almost don't feel like, I've asked so many times, should I keep asking? But I have to because I have no other recourse. God says, my mercies are new for you every day. You can have a fresh start, a new heart every single day. And that's true. Is this one on again?
Yeah.
Even if things in life feel difficult, even if life seems really hard, a fresh start's available daily. Check out this powerful verse in 2 Corinthians 4. It says, therefore, we don't lose heart, though outwardly we're wasting away. Outwardly, things, they're terrible. Yet inwardly, we are being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not on what's seen, but on what is unseen. Since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. Remember, the renew word here is a fresh start word. Some of the renewal and the fresh that we need isn't because we messed up. It's because the world is messed up. Some of the renewal that we need is because there are troubles in life. There are cancers in life. There are sicknesses in life. There are financial difficulties in life. There are stuff that you don't know how to handle, and it wasn't even your fault. There are outside things that we need a fresh heart for. Even in the midst of all of the outward difficulties, we can be renewed inwardly. Our outward decay does not dictate our inward freshness. So it can be collapsing all around you. And inside you can be fresh and new and joyful. This inward renewal is available if, like that verse says, if we fix our eyes on Jesus. If your eyes are everywhere else, then it's not available. It's on my problems. It's on my relationships. It's on my this. It's on my goals. It's on my money. It's on my 401k. You'll never find the renewal of heart in the middle of difficulty unless your eyes are fixed on Jesus and his promises. Now here's our last section, and I want you to check it out because I've been praying this verse over you for the last week and the last couple of weeks. It comes from Psalm 51. It says, "Create in me a pure heart, oh God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Don't cast me away from your presence or take your spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation and grant me a willing spirit to sustain me. Then I'll teach transgressors your way so that sinners will turn back to you. Deliver me from the guilt of bloodshed, oh God. You who are my Savior, and my tongue will sing of your righteousness. Open my lips, Lord, and my mouth will declare your praises. You don't delight in sacrifices, or I'd bring it. You don't take pleasure in burnt offerings. My sacrifice, O God, is a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart. God, you will not despise that." What an incredible passage to take in. Like, we could pray this same prayer to God for an incredible fresh start in our own hearts. There's some really powerful words in that first part. Pull that verse back up. Check out those words. They got renew, steadfast, restore, joy, willing spirit. And I want every one of those words for each of you. I want you to imbibe them. I want you to saturate yourself with them, to be filled with the whole measure of the Holy Spirit, to receive those deep in your soul. Not just let them hit your ears, but allow them to soak in. Not like California. Don't just let that water run off into the ocean. Let it sit and percolate down deep within you. Maybe this is weird, but I want to pause right here in the middle of service, and I want to just breathe in the prayer of this verse. And I'd like you to try to do that. Just say, just breathe in this prayer. Create in me, God, a pure heart. Renew a steadfast spirit in me. Don't cast me away from your presence or take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation and grant me a willing spirit to sustain me. When this spiritual fresh start washes over you, it produces several outcomes. Notice them with me in the second part of that verse. The first outcome is a desire to tell transgressors about God's path. When you have a new heart, you'll want to tell everyone you know about it, but not in a pushy or preachy way. You just want to tell them because it's so refreshing for you. You just want to tell them because you have something so good to share with them. Not because you have to or it's necessary, but because like that's what's going on inside of you. When you can receive the first part, then the second part is an outpouring of the reception that you had in the first part. I don't want you to go do any evangelism. I don't want you to go have to tell people about Jesus. What I want you to do is be filled with the first part so much so that when you go around people, you're going to be like, "Dear God, like, heal me this weekend. I'm so stoked. And 25 is going to be amazing. And it doesn't matter if people die in it or there's my job in it because I have this inward reality that is different than anything that happens on the outside." The second part is an outflow of the first part. Man, when you're around people, if you've received Jesus, then it's going to pour out. You're going to have to like, "Oh, I'm going to evangelize, I guess." No, it's going to be like, they're going to look at your face and you'll be like, "It's Monday. I'm so stoked to be at work because I get to share love with you guys. I get to do a great job. I get to work hard. I get to honor God in the things that I'm doing here at work." and they're going to notice, and they're going to ask, and you're going to share, and you won't even have to like think about it or write some notes or anything like that. You'll just be able to share out of the overflow of your heart. The second thing that changes is your internal desires, so that you start to desire to not sin. A fresh start, new heart, is an opportunity to be right with God again, to be purified by the blood of Jesus so that you can walk rightly with him right now. Additionally, it causes your tongue to sing praises, it says. But not just only in melody. It then says it causes you to declare God's praises in your sentences and in your interactions with different people all around you. And lastly, a spiritual fresh start allows you the ability to give God the proper sacrifice, a spirit that's humble before him, a heart that's open and apologetic for your sins, a realization and a profession that you cannot do it on your own. So just like last week, there's a portion of this that is available for us corporately. So yes, that's available individually, but there's also a fresh start, new heart that's available to us as a local congregation. And I'd like to highlight a couple of things that God is doing fresh this coming year. And the first one is a guy named Charlie, who's been coming for about a year and a half now. He has volunteered to be our point person over Rose. So if you're newer to here, what we have is three parts of our church. We have Rose, Arrows, and Circles. Rose is every time we meet in a public service, like this, or for PPP. Circles is any kind of small group kind of stuff, and Arrows is outreach or missions or anything outside of here. And in all of my time being the pastor here, we have always had someone who's in charge of Arrows and someone who's in charge of Circles, but we've never had someone in charge of Rose until 2025. And so thank you, Charlie, as he joins Syl and Arjun as the Arrow coordinators. In case you're curious, Andrew Wang is our Circles person, and so now Charlie's going to be making sure that service is fantastic, and he's going to be overseeing all of our public services. So it's such a powerful movement. Another really cool thing that's happening is Pastor Peter, who's our college pastor, we're actually moving him up to be an executive pastor. Oh, I know, it sounds fancy, right? So he'll be joining Charlie in helping to run service well, helping to coordinate events, helping in all sorts of ways. His major job will be, if you have any complaints at all, then that's who you have to talk to. If there's anything that's not going right, don't look back at the booth next time he messes up. Find Pastor Peter and look towards him.
Okay.
So that's where you look. Now, he's still responsible 100% for the college group, so we're adding extra work, and we didn't even give him that much more money, so it's like, you know, so he'll be stepping into that. And another one, he's not here in service, but Pastor Jason just finished his degree this month. He got his Master's of Divinity from Talbot School of Theology, so when you see him after service, I want you to congratulate him, because he's, you know, what a fresh start. You're out of school permanently. You've got your Master's of Divinity degree. Now, he's not going to know why you're congratulating, so let him know. Otherwise, he's going to be totally confused, because I didn't tell him I was going to mention him in service. So after service, when you congratulate him, just tell him, because you graduated your degree. And he did it while raising his two daughters, while taking care of his family, while serving here at the church. So what a powerful, incredible achievement. So thank you for him. So that's just a couple of people kind of things. Now, here's a fresh start idea for some of you. We currently have like paid pastoral staff, but we're going to open a lane for any of you who are called by God to be a pastor, including ordination, pastoral responsibility over a particular ministry, just without pay. So not a paid pastor, but an official pastor nonetheless. Like a volunteer shepherding pastor. Many churches call them lay pastors. So I've been praying this for a little bit over a year now. I've been praying it through, and the last couple of months I've been talking to the leadership board and our staff team about it. And I truly believe in my heart of hearts that there, not that I've been praying over your name specifically, but there's like five or six people in this church that are spiritually ready, that they're spiritually mature enough, spiritually open, and called to step into this sphere, called by God to do something radically different. Here's a chance for you to pray an enormously huge, bold courageous, out of this world prayer that God may want you to step into a greater spiritual responsibility in 2025. I hear it in your head already, but I didn't go to seminary. Neither did any of the authors of the Bible. Apostle Paul was trained theologically, but in the wrong religion. He went to Mormon seminary. He was a Pharisee. He said, but I'm a woman. See Deborah in the Bible. Book of Judges. But I'm really young. Try reading 1 Timothy and see what Paul says about that. But I've got an actual other job that pays me money. So did the Apostle Paul. He had a job. Ministry was his side hustle. I'm not minimizing trained, paid vocational pastors, of which I'm one. They're really important. They're critical. But shepherds that are raised from within a congregation, they're essential. And they ought to be empowered. Apostle Paul says the vocational pastor, the paid pastor's job, his job is actually to equip the body so that the body or the saints can do the good work. It was never meant to be the pastor does the work of the church. The paid guy, he's supposed to get you all to do the work of the church, to empower you. And maybe we haven't done a great job of that. That's fantastic. We did a great job in a lot of ways. But we're going to do it different now. That we empower you to do the good work of the body of believers at this church. Just because you got a job after college, you stopped asking if God wanted you to be in ministry? If I looked at your lives, I bet you there was a moment for almost all of our little bit seasoned believers that you were like, hey, would God want me to do this? Would God want me to be a pastor? Would God want me to be a missionary? I bet there was a time when you prayed those things. And then you got a job, and so your job meant that you can't pray those things anymore? Yes, you can. And yes, you ought to. We believe in the priesthood of all believers, and so that ought to be your prayer. Not, God, do you want me to be a pastor? Your prayer should be, God, where do you want me to exercise my pastoral gifts? Where do you want me to be the priesthood of all believers? Where, God, can I step into a greater spiritual reality for you? You want purpose, you want meaning, you want true value in life. You follow the things of God. Your job is great. Have it, do awesome at it. But have something also, God, where do you want me to do ministry? Where do you want me to serve others? How do you want me to step into this new spiritual reality? That's my prayer for you for 2025. And I want to invite you to pray that over yourself in 2025. So back to our intro questions. After hearing God's word this morning, are you open to asking God if he wants more from you? Are you open to a greater spiritual investment in yourself and in this community? Are you open to a radical stepping out of your spiritual comfort zone? What is God calling you to in this next season of your life? Fresh start, new heart, and I'm all about it. I am so excited. And we can't help but to get excited about what God might want to do this year in you. So let's take a few moments just to sit in those questions and to allow the Holy Spirit to wash over you and draw you into God's presence. Would you listen for his voice and then pray for his work and his will in your life? Would you pray that over me? God, I need a refreshing. God, in my spirit, I need your calling. I need to follow that. I need meaning, God. I need your mercy new again this morning. Would you pray that over yourself, and then we'll worship to close out. Mm-hmm.